I know.
I'm too busy for voice.
Oh, I'm such a phone person at heart. I know.
No, you're a dinosaur. You're an old age adage. Like, there's literally not room in people's lives to talk on the phone anymore.
No.
Or in my life.
No, there are still, exactly, in your life. Like, you've created everyone in your life to prefer text. But I've created people in my life who prefer phone calls.
Apart from me.
I know. Annoyingly, I prefer phone, you prefer text, and neither one of them. I've budged a bit.
I prefer text. Like, I just won't call you. My mum called me alone, I just didn't pick up.
I make an effort to text you because I know you won't respond to phone calls. So I make
and
a
you, yeah, because you don't respond to texts. Me and Zach or me and Scott are happily chatting away in a group text, and fucking 3 days later you're like, lol, yeah, that's cool. Like, Jesus Christ, how do you not look at your phone for like 2 days? Anyway, doesn't matter.
I know, exactly. Both of us are never going to win this.
You're a dinosaur. Speaking of Dinosaur Island. No, anyway, we need to do the intro. We'll see if that stays in. Anyway.
Wasn't that the intro?
That was the intro. How's it going, everyone? Happy Wednesday. Greetings, welcome, and thank you for joining us. This is the 67th episode of the Downtime Gaming Podcast, if I can count correctly, which I think I can, because the computer just tells me to add plus one each week. This is your regularly scheduled podcast destination for the news, reviews, and our thoughts. The best of the world of the video games, board games, and anything else fun you can do in your hard-earned downtime. As always, I am your host. Welcome you to the show. Hello. My name is Sam Agalina. Join me across the airwaves. As always, it's Chris Oswell.
Let's go.
Let's fucking go,
Let's
man.
Let's go. Have you ever seen a speedrunner called Small Ant?
Probably.
He does a load of like Pokemon content, Super Mario Odyssey content. But I ended up going down a rabbit hole of some of these streams. And he has a very unique way of saying let's go that I think's poisoned my mind. So now if I say let's go, I just hear his voice echoing in the back of my head. But if you've never seen his stuff, he's awesome, man. He did like a Wii Fit speedrun and stuff like that. He's done all sorts of weird speedruns.
There's a 99% chance I've seen him on Summer Games Done Quick / Awesome Games Done Quick, and I just don't know because I never remember the names of the people because there's 40,000 people that run games in 1 week, so it's hard to keep up. I know like one or two names, but I think I'd recognize him if I saw him.
I think he would.
Speedrunning's fun.
It's really fun. I love down such I love a rabbit hole for him. Like, I've never got into the speedrunning thing, but as soon as I started watching some of his content, man. I was like, this guy is just really likable. He's really charming. He's really interesting the way he does his speedruns. And actually, I'm here for your content. And that's it.
You should watch AGDQ and SDGQ, man, they're so good. Like, as long as you're picking, like, not picking, but as long as you get a good stream with a good person, with a good game. Not even a good game. Some of the terrible games are really good. But even now, like, when I was playing that Unsighted the other week, I was like, man, I'd be, like, super excited to watch whatever speedrun comes out of this. Like, I really want to know. Because there's an achievement in that game for completing it in under an hour. And I was like, this took me, like, 9 hours. So I don't know how that's possible. But, like, someone will do it, and then I really want to watch it.
I mean, I'm pretty certain if you check the website, it's probably already been done. There's probably already like world attempts on there. Yeah,
there'll be some. It'll be some like New Game Plus where you keep all your abilities, where you can just hop to the bosses because like it's a Zelda-like. So you have to go to one area to get the spinning thing, so you can go on the rails, and then the next area you get a grappling hook, so you can get across the sky area. But if you do New Game Plus and you just have all of that, you can just go boss, done. Which I guess is how they're counting it, but I want to find out.
I've got you times. Are you ready?
Yep.
So real time and in-game time are two different times. So we are right when we said that your time was wrong.
Yeah, I told you. Yeah,
so real time, 30 minutes and 34 seconds, and in-game time, 15 minutes and 35 seconds.
Okay, so that's definitely New Game Plus and then hopping to the bosses, presumably.
Yep.
Also, I'd quite like to see the boss rush. Like, as I said, when I completed it, that the game's got like boss rush mode, loads of extra that like, you can do the thing again with
four
abilities,
minutes
without
and 51
abilities.
Seconds. Somebody's already done it, man.
Boss
rush. Hell yeah. One person on the leaderboard at 8 minutes 30 in real time and 4 minutes 51 in speedrun. If we weren't recording, I'd probably just click on the video because that's 5 minutes and I'm well up for seeing
Hell
that.
Yeah. But well, I'm looking for that. Okay, that I reckon that would definitely be it. AGDQ then in January, so that'd be a cool one to watch. I know I can just go watch somebody do it now on Twitch and there's videos and VODs and whatever, but there is something about watching it during the event that like brings out either the best or the worst in people, which is quite funny.
oh my days, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Somebody's got 103.4% run on new game, not even new game plus, and I did it in less than an hour in game time.
Oh, okay, so there's something you can do in that game that completely breaks it then. So that's quite cool.
But no, honestly, it's one of those things. I never really got into speedrunning. You talked about it for years. And I'm really up for when the next show is. Like, I'm really down for this. Even just sitting there in Discord and chatting about
it. Oh, yeah. Normally, it's AGDQ, which is Awesome Games Done Quick, and it's January. And then is SGDQ, which is Summer Games Done Quick in June or July. Can't remember. But I think, I don't know, because it's been remote, obviously, the last couple of years. But it used to be like in a hall. They'd like rent out a hotel hall, and they'd have like a crowd and everything. And it's just gets a bit hype, as the kids would say. So it is fun, and it will definitely like hop on Discord and watch some. And I think I watched, or did you watched all of the Final Fantasy VII run from the last one, right? Or some of it. The remake. There was a remake run as well, which was essentially really, really slow until a certain point in the game, and then completely broke it, and then skipped to the end.
I don't enjoy the speed runs. I don't enjoy are glitch runs. I like them when it's just like, I guess to me, glitch runs are interesting in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some of the Mario Odyssey glitches and stuff were amazing, but I always like it when it feels like it's just like that skill, knowledge, and experience combined to get the perfect run. Like I end up watching like some really cool Resi 2, Resi 3 runs, like the OG Resi 2 and Resi 3 runs. And I'm just fascinating watching all the techniques they've got. Like you have to take damage in certain places. I think we spoke about this before. But like that, the one for me, you're on the
which resets like spawn counters and things
like that. There's like one zombie in RE2 where it's got no arms and it does the least amount of damage when it hits you, but puts Claire in a running animation when she's faster after taking damage. So the run starts off with you intentionally taking damage and that's it. You're faster by a few seconds, and it's like, all right, that's the run.
Yeah, similar to like a lot of the middle age Final Fantasies from like 7, 8, 9, the OG PlayStation versions, it's all counting steps, and you have to know the amount of steps and the amount of time between battles, which then like sets the seed, which is, you know, the random phrase, which then generates the random battle orders and random abilities and stuff like that. But like, if you do a certain sequence of events, and it might be across the first like 3 hours of the game, you have to do every step correctly and go to the right places in the right order, which then sets the seed, which then means that for the rest of the game, you will get favorable battle conditions or favorable like random enemy encounters going through zones and stuff like that. And it's like, how the hell do people figure that out? Computers, obviously. But then doing it, like somebody doing it live. And that's why I like the events. That's why I like AGDQ and SGDQ, because it's like they're doing it live. They get one shot. Like if you watch someone's Twitch, they fluff up, they restart, fluff up, restart. But on the actual event, it's like, there's like 60,000 people watching online, plus people in the event. Like it's like the one run, and it's kind of Olympics-ish, where it's like, okay, I've been practicing for years or a year, or in some cases years, and it's got to this point where it's like, this is my one shot. This is live. They might have like rehearsed jokes or scripts, or they've got people on the couch behind them who are going to give like commentary as they go through, and they have to try and do it. Like this is the one time they have to hit it, and it does add that like extra layer of excitement. I think
it does. I'll agree.
What an event. But anyway, that's the most we've talked about AGDQ when it's like 3 months away and 3 months ago. So that's fun. Good timing.
We're giving a quarterly update, you know, a quarterly update. That's all it is.
A quarterly update on the biannual event. Perfect. We have nothing to add. Odyssey is fun, and Unsighted might be interesting. But again, if they get it down to like 10 minutes, they might not even do it because it might be too short. So
no, I love it when they do the short ones. Like I saw an Earthworm Jim one, you know, the old school Mega Drive game. And this guy is absolutely crunching Earthworm Jim. I'm like, this is worth 25 minutes of my life. Like, I saw a really good one for, what was it? Duck Hunt. Is it Duck Hunt? The game?
With the light gun. Oh, no.
Oh, God, I can't remember the name of it right. Quackshot. Quackshot, there it is.
Quackshot, yeah.
Fucking love Quackshot. And watching some guy playing a game, I was like, I don't even remember the late levels because I was a kid and I sucked. And this guy is just absolutely smashing him. I'm like, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely fun stuff. And I like as well, they organize things into blocks. So there's like the retro game block, or the Mega Man block is always really good. They always get like 3 or 4 Mega Man games because there's like 4 million of them. And Mega Man games, as you say, there's not many glitches. It is literally just, this is super impressive. Cause I don't know if you played a Mega Man game recently, but they're all really hard, like really, really hard. Like when you were a kid and you could just do the same thing again and again and again for 10 hours, then you get better, but they are like super hard. So watching someone destroy those without getting hit is like quite fun. Anyway, let's move on.
Oh man, it's just such a rabbit hole. I'm now just looking at other games and speedruns. I'm just like, oh, I was checking if there's like this Geometry Wars 3, but yeah, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
let's just move away from this.
They're not that fun. Cool. I've actually, while we're talking about a version of esports, it's the League of Legends World Championships is currently on. As I think I mentioned it before on the show, it's like the one big thing that I watch occasionally. It's quite good. Esports are fun.
It's got a lot coming out for Riot, because you've got Arcane, that TV series, coming out soon, haven't you?
Yeah, I've seen a few trailers. They keep on piping it in between all the bits and pieces. But yeah, so far I've watched the group stage and 2 of the 4 quarterfinals, and essentially every English-speaking / Western country has been absolutely demolished by the Koreans. Which, like with StarCraft and some older games, you'd expect. But like, there was a phase, there was a time where like Splice and Fnatic and like some of the European teams did quite well. Cloud9 normally do like okay. But yeah, SKT Telecom, Damwon Gaming, Edward Gaming, and Royal Never Give Up, like the 4 Korean teams were just, they topped all 4 groups, and then that was it. It was like, oh my God. But yeah, it's fun. Like, I think it's like it's a really good esports to like duck in and out of, just because it's easy to understand in that there's so much going on that matters to the minute-to-minute gameplay. But from a spectator point of view, doesn't really matter. It's a team game, 5-on-5. You can tell when there's a big fight, who's going to win, like that kind of stuff. You know, it's all about like control of areas, and you know when one team's pushing up that they're doing well, and you don't really have to care about like what their Q move is or what W move is and what stuns they've got and that kind of stuff. You can do. You just listen to the commentators, and it's just a bit fun. So that's what I've been doing.
Honestly, not a bad way of spending your time. I've been pumpkin carving again. Oh, I love a bit of pumpkin carving. Got on it last year.
Love a bit of pumpkin carving.
Check out the socials if you want to see my pumpkins, because I'll be uploading a photo of them shortly.
We decided not to bother this year. It takes too long.
I enjoy the pumpkin picking part, because it ended up being like a whole day. We went to this place near Biggles, and it was like, they call it the secret pumpkin patch, even though obviously, you know. Come on, let's be real now.
Not secret.
Yeah, but like by the time we went through there, it was like some of the miscellaneous pumpkins we found. There were ones that just looked like somebody had dehydrated a squash and covered it in sweet corn. And I'm like, what is this? This doesn't make sense. I found one that literally looked like a top of a pie. You know when you get like a top of a crust of a nice pie? That's what the pumpkin looked like in the top half. And I'm sitting there. I was like, I need to buy this because it's literally a pumpkin pie. You know, I was so proud of my little joke. That's like, yeah, I'll buy it for £1. Go on then. What are we going to do with it? Look pretty.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I enjoyed my joke.
It takes way too long to scoop them out. It's just a pain in the butt. So we're not going to bother this year.
I mean, I started mastering the art. Because I remember last year I sucked at it. And this year, I was like, nope, just pure efficiency, man, pure efficiency.
Fair enough.
I mean, I was doing it for about 5 hours in total, so yeah, but still.
Yeah, exactly. It takes way too long.
I had a great experience, and then now living in the garden, probably going to house some spiders at the rate they're going. I didn't want those moldy pumpkins in my house.
Or ladybugs. Yeah, we've got like a whole pile just outside the front door, but we're not going to carve them. We just bought a pile of pumpkins for decoration. Somebody had to.
We're compare pumpkin batches.
Well, mine's just a pile of pumpkins, so you can imagine it. You don't need to compare it. You know, in your mind's eye, you can tell what's going on. It's a pile of pumpkins. Right, we've got majorly off topic. Let's move on. This week, we're going to focus on a few bits of news. Quite a lot of like half news stories / announcements / this is what's coming up kind of stuff. So I think we're going to just run through about 5 or 6 bits and pieces. We're going to be hitting on games we've been playing, and next week instead, Chris has been I was going to say Balls Deep. Sorry, I was going to say Balls Deep. Chris has been Balls Deep in Back to Blood, which we talked about for about 20 minutes last week. I'm about 6 hours into Scarlet Nexus. It's a game I've been playing. I'd like to play a little bit more before I jabber about it. So I think we're going to save that for next week, and we're just going to do a quick roundup of everything that's going on. So, news! Da, 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 da,
da. The newest of news. The freshest of
the
news.
The newest of news. Xbox.
I've heard of those as well, yeah?
They dropped a fresh look at the Halo Infinite campaign. It actually covered quite a bit of the same stuff that they showed at E3 2020, which I think was deliberate. Like, literally the same cutscene. Literally the same cutscene was part of it to show that it has improved quite a lot. And in fact, delaying the game an entire year might have seemed radical at the time, but was actually probably a very, 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 very good decision.
I'm glad they did the like for like, because you know 100% that people would have just gone, here's the old trailer and the new trailer. Yeah. And like, you know.
Oh, Craig's so ugly.
Yeah, it's like this time they're like, nah, we're just going to do it for you. The internet's going to do this anyway. Yeah. Come on. Here you go. But it looked pretty fresh, man. Looked pretty fresh. Revitalized a bit of interest, I think.
Yeah. So it was, it was a bit weird. It was kind of like a trailer, but then there was a time and it was on YouTube Premiere or whatever. But it's about an 8-minute look into the campaign. If you head to the Xbox official channels, you'll see it, Halo official channels, et cetera, et cetera. And it looks very Halo 1 Combat Evolved, which is the impression I was getting from like the very first like screenshots and stuff like that. But it does just seem like they've doubled, tripled down on, you know, Halo 1 had a couple of levels or a few levels towards the start of the game, which seemed open world, like Silent Cartographer and things like that, which weren't really because technology at the time, but they were like a bit more open, green, just the chief, doing chief stuff, killing things. It feels like you can do what you like. They were slightly more linear than they actually appeared, but it does seem like they've tried to channel that in this. Like the world you're on, or the bits they showed at least, are like green, lush, open air. There's like outposts, Ubisoft style, where you can like sit on a cliff above them and try and figure out best ways to take them down. There's upgrades, there's, you know, it's just you and your AI.
Vehicle spawn points as well now.
Vehicle spawn points. Yeah. It just seems like a lot of fun contained in like a framework that they've tried to, a modernized version of Combat Evolved, as opposed to any of the games after that, which were not as good. Well, Halo 2 was good, and Reach.
Come on now, like Bungie era. It's
yes.
I think they're trying to recapture.
They're going back. They're going away from 343 games.
Well, they had to. I'm sorry. Like I was a big advocate for Halo for years, and 4 and 5, I just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, and it's like, 5 is terrible.
I think they've already had 2 opportunities and failed 2 opportunities. If it wasn't such a big IP, they would have just dropped it by now. So I really hope they've. It looks promising.
It looks
I'm
promising.
Still very.
I think that's the best
skeptical.
Thing we can say now.
Like, it looks amazing. Some of the ways that the gameplay, it felt quite fluid watching that. I know, of course, it's a trailer. It's designed to look fluid. You know, watching moments where like there was that scene where he was against this sort of like boss creature. And he pulls up a shield in front of him, runs out of ammo, grappling hooks a hammer over. There's a cheeky upgrade in the hammer, and then one shots him after teleporting next to him. Like that whole bit, I was like, okay, that's cool. For me personally, that's a very creative use of the upgrade system mixed in with the grappling hook. I was like, that entire scene summarized the additions they've done to the game. And I didn't complain of any of those additions. They looked good. They looked quite positive.
The grappling hook looks awesome.
I can't wait. Yeah.
Grappling
hook and stickies. Yeah, that's how I'm going to play that game.
I felt like it didn't seem out of the realms of possibility of what a player could do, though. Like, it seemed like a gameplay demo, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But like, if you saw, my most recent comparison would be the Horizon Zero Dawn. For some reason, it popped up again today, like the trailers for that. Not Zero Dawn, Horizon...
Forbidden West.
New Forbidden West. Whatever.
Forbidden Dawn. They should have called it Forbidden Dawn, but, you know, that's a different story.
But the gameplay section on that is... It looks way better, but it's like... You know, Aloy slides underneath an enemy, switches around, shoots it in the weak point, rolls to one side, gets out the melee weapon, attaches a melee thing, stabs it right underneath, and it's like, I mean, that's technically gameplay. Like, if you're the best person to ever play that game in the world. Like, no one's going to be able to do that. Whereas I feel like this looked a lot like, I'm just going to tap a button, I'm going to zoom over here, and then I'm going to chuck a sticky, as you say, and then I'm going to get this hammer and smash with the hammer. But like, maybe like the very minutiae detail, like that one thing that you mentioned, that sequence might be tricky. But I felt like a lot more of the gameplay seemed like realistic gameplay, as opposed to, this is in the game, but I mean, I played most of Zero Dawn like in a bush, just shooting things. Like, I didn't really engage like too much with some of the other systems, because that's just how I played it. But I felt like the Halo things, they tried to keep it a bit more
grounded.
I hadn't considered that actually.
Like, even moments which looked really cool from a thematic point of view. Like, there's that moment where they're flying around in the flying craft. I can't remember the name right now. The Wasp, I think it was. He's flying around in the Wasp.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting the Wasp blown up in midair, jumping out with it, grappling hook to another Wasp, ejecting the pilot midair, and then carrying on as normal. It's like, that is the exact sort of thing you used to do in Halo multiplayer. And the grappling hook just made it look more satisfying. I was like, okay, all of this is something I would personally do. And I think that's it, isn't it? It's what you would do in the game, not just showing you what you can do. Maybe some people might not find that interesting, but it's kind of like an honest trailer in a weird way.
Yeah. Whereas I just sent you quickly the Horizon Forbidden West thing. It's like a 30-second GIF, so you can just watch it quickly now.
I'll say, awkward pause for 30 seconds.
No, tell me where you're learning it. Like, talk through it. What bit you're on, etc. But I just felt like when I watched this, I was like, this looks incredible. But like, sliding under something to then, when I'm on the way up, grappling up to an advantage point to then glide down next to the enemy to then switch to my melee to do a melee upgrade to then dive underneath it to then stab it in the weak point. Like, I'm like, this looks dope. But few people are going to play it like that. And I felt like Halo, the demo they gave, was like quite a lot of just real gameplay. Like, I'm going to hit this grappling hook and go over here. And like, some of the Halo stuff was like, it was just like zoom, and then it didn't come to anything because they were just zooming over there. Like, and there was a very distinction between, this is very cinematized.
Yeah. Horizon 1,
whereas the Halo one, I mean, it looks amazing, but like, there's no way I'm doing that. I'm not going to do that. You're not going to do that. And we play games a lot. Like, the Halo one just seemed like way more grounded and fun.
It was like, there's this weird moment where it's like they want to show off all the new tools. So they've basically found a way of forcing all the tools into one scene. But then in a way, it doesn't feel organic. I think that's the way I'm looking at this. Even like the way the cutscene swaps to her using the weapon, it didn't feel organic. It just felt...
Yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of found myself watching that 3 times. I don't know if I actually enjoyed it or not. It looked cool,
no,
but I don't know if I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's something. Again, not to rag on the game. Like, I'm excited for that game because, I mean, I platinumed Horizon. It was the reason I bought a PlayStation 4 originally. It was the, you know, that point where you get to where you're like,
2016, 2017. It's like, now it's worth buying. Now there's enough games.
Exactly.
Like, I get value out of my investment.
Loved it, platinumed it. But I think just the differences between the way they're showcasing these games is worth mentioning, I think.
I do think they did well. You know, I watched it, I thought about it, I watched it again. And actually, as far as gameplay trailers go, this close to release, you know, it was a pretty honest introspection as to whether you're going to like the game or not. You know, I think a lot of people... I think a lot of people who watch the Halo 1 will now know, is this game going to be for them or not? It's not going to be for everyone. Yeah. But at least it's kind of upfront about it.
And the multiplayer is completely free. So go play it if you want. Not even Game Pass free, like actually just free for everyone.
Yeah, like actual free.
Free to play. The multiplayer and then the campaign, free on Game Pass. So it's free. Totally. I don't know how you differentiate now. No. One's on Game Pass and the actual multiplayer is free to play. So
one's a subscription game and one's free to play.
Yes.
But I don't know who owns Xboxes anymore without Game Pass. It kind of feels like, you know, owning an oven and then getting takeout every night. You know, yeah, it's doable, but it kind of defeats the point.
Let's move on. We definitely don't do that. There is a Smash Brothers style beat 'em up coming from, do you want to guess?
Nickelodeon.
No, that's already out.
Yeah, I know. And apparently, I thought you were touching on that. Apparently, that's mediocre. Also, a Smash Bros. Clone. I'm gonna go.
Think big publisher, like up top level publisher.
Oh, Ubisoft.
No, Warner Brothers. which makes way more sense because they own so many properties.
Yes. Yes. They've been working on that for a while.
Apparently, it was like rumored for a while. People thought NetherRealm were working on it, which is just stupid because they're the Mortal Kombat people, and they would not because platform fighters are terrible. They're not terrible.
Is it Warner Bros. Anyway. Montreal who's working on this, or are they still working on Batman?
Montreal the Batman that's the Red Knight Batman, whatever it's called, the Court of Owls storyline. That's going to be them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, like, this is only a rumor, but it's been, like, basically corroborated with a lot of news sources. It's going to potentially, like, Shaggy, Scooby-Doo.
Hell
Gandalf
yes.
From Gandalf, because they're in Lord of the Rings.
Michael Tom and Jerry from Space Jam.
Tom and Jerry, Batman, Fred Flintstone, Mad Max, Johnny Bravo, because they're in Cartoon Network. Like, it's...
Do they in Cartoon Network? Oh, my Lord. Give me some Dexter from Dexter's Lab. And I'm, that actually sounds really fun. I know we kind of mocked it a little bit, but actually.
Yeah. I mean, potentially, but this was the original leak, which was like ages ago, but only now it's now been corroborated by like official, like Jeff Grubb and like people who actually know things. But the original leak did include the character list, which was the things I read out, which had Johnny Bravo. So maybe, but I mean, fucking Johnny Bravo versus Gandalf versus Batman versus Shaggy. That sounds quite fun.
Oh my God, Harry Potter. It's Warner Brothers as well.
Oh, yeah.
We'll oh, my days. Their IP library is strong. Because apparently the Nickelodeon one, a lot of the IPs were great, depending on which era you were born. And then they didn't get the right voice actors. They just kind of half-assed a lot of it. So I think that's be what make or break that. Do they get the actual... Imagine actually getting people like Daniel Radcliffe back or Orlando Bloom back to do the voice acting for those characters. Oh my God, I could play as Orlando Bloom. I can play as Legolas. Oh, fuck me, I need that game.
To curb your expectations, have you seen the... in the Nickelodeon one, there are no voices.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. They did none of the voice acting. So for me, I think the Warner Bros. One needs to learn from that clear negative feedback they've just got for the Nickelodeon one.
I mean, they cheaped out massively because they were probably, at that point, the most expensive thing is probably the voice stuff.
It's interesting. I think with them doing a platformer so soon after it's been a cartoon-based platformer, I say platformer, platform fighter, I should say, you'd like to think they would do better because there's already expectation that they need to do better to compete with Nintendo. Maybe this would be good. You'll still hate it either way, regardless. This is not your cup of tea. But this might be something I enjoy, actually.
It might just be. Speaking of things you might enjoy, I've done these completely out of order, so we'll just go to this one next. Have you seen that the Stardew Valley dude has announced the next game in Stardew Valley?
I did, and everyone is just going to buy it because it's made by Concerned Ape. They don't even care what the game is, they're just going to buy it because it's, you know, that guy has got so much community love that any game he releases, people will buy.
It is called Haunted Chocolatier, and it is a, I mean, it's basically Stardew Valley, but instead of farming, you make chocolate. But, I mean, the farming was 60% of that game, 70% of the game, not all of that game. A lot of it was, like, relationships and town building and all that kind of jazz. And I feel like Chocolatier is going to be very similar, where there's a big old chocolate factory that you manage and you have to make chocolates. But really, it's about towns and maybe a cave.
It
looks exactly the same.
It's going to be awesome, though. Because he's done a really good job of like developing all those weird like relationships that the characters have with each other. You know, like, Stardew Valley. You could tell it was his first project. So it's gonna end up being obscenely good. Like, I got well into Stardew Valley. I don't know about you, but I went for a real Stardew Valley phase. And that was a good 60 hours.
No, I didn't play it too much. No, I only played it for a couple of hours and then I kind of fell off. But I knew you liked it quite a lot.
I got quite into it. But it was slow to begin with. And then the more I played it, the more I got out of it. And I think that's what a lot of people probably found as well. It's like, the more time I invested, the more it gave back to me. Similar to like my time at Portia. You know, I felt like it respected my time in a weird way, considering it's a bit of a chores game. And, you know, I'm on board for it. I'm on board. All the announcements from me this week. Fucking bring it on.
There's way more. And then we're going back to one that I probably should have done straight after the Halo one, but my tabs are out of order. Sony has announced its next State of Play, which is the live stream with all of the upcoming games, and that is today, the 27th of October at 10 p.m. UK time. They've said the show will focus on, quote, announcements and updates for upcoming third-party releases headed to PS5 and PS4. So, don't expect any Horizon or God of War, but get hyped up for Final Fantasy 16. That probably won't be there, but we can know.
Maybe more Forspoken?
Definitely Forspoken.
Yeah.
They will 100% be Forspoken. Yeah, and as I noted, like some of the other tweets and stuff are mentioning that it is end of quarter, like results, business results stuff, like next week for 2K, Square, Capcom, and a bunch of other Japanese devs. So this might just be people churning out hype videos to keep investors happy and stock prices happy. And that's fine. I love trailers. But I do feel like a lot of Sony stuff recently has been like, here's this amazing stuff that you will play in 18 months. And that is fine as long as I see Final Fantasy 16 / 7 Part 2. But I think it's going to be 16.
I love your optimism, but I can't see it for either. I can't see any Final Fantasy content. It'll be next quarter. It'll be like Q1 22 when they do the State of Play. That's my...
Yeah, as I say, like Endwalker's coming up, and I feel like they tend to get one game out of the way before they do the next one. And they're kind of, they're focusing the A game stuff on, it is Endwalker, right? The new 14 expansion. But then they've got Stranger of Paradise, which is kind of like the B thing they're focusing on. And yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice to see a bit more about 16.
I think it would ruin your own marketing because you then have too many games. It almost feels like you're saturating your own marketing then. You know, you might as well wait a little bit.
They're in a pretty similar world as well, aren't they?
Yeah, you might as well wait a little bit. Get Strangers of Paradise out there, get Endwalker out there. Let people like absorb the new content, and then while they're absorbing it, cheekily just chuck in a 16 trailer to keep the hype going, you know?
Yeah. So we don't really know. Obviously, yeah, definitely Forspoken. Forspoken? Forsaken. Forspoken.
It's Forspoken. Yeah.
Forspoken. That one.
Probably that more of Alan Wake as well. No, is Alan Wake already out now?
I mean,
I think Alan Wake might have sneakily come out in the last few weeks since we last watched it.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's not a new one, right? The up-res versions.
Yeah, I know, but we're talking about games that they're going to discuss. It's just going to be more or less the same content we just saw.
Do they show the up-res Grand Theft Auto trilogy, which just comes out in like a week? Yeah, they love to show more GTA at almost all of these things. So, also, this isn't a news thing, but have you seen that the Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, has been released as a game? So full price, all three games. One of them is coming free to Game Pass. A different one is coming to PS Now. And neither of them are the one that everyone wants, San Andreas. Not San Andreas, the other one. Can't remember.
I've got to be honest, I don't pay much attention to all of the re-releases.
No,
so
I don't really
care. Is it Trilogy, Vice City, San Andreas and 3? Or is it like 1, 2, London and 3? Like, is it like...
Oh, no, it's the 3D ones.
Okay, so is San Andreas, Vice City and 3?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of wanted a remastered Grand Theft Auto 1. I know that sounds really... Maybe my nostalgia goggles are on. But I kind of like 1 in a weird, archaic way.
I mean, they'll never go back to that because it was a completely different thing, I think. But
that's why I think a remastered version of 1 would work really nicely because it's... You know what it is. It's not trying to be what it is now. Yeah. I don't think they ever will. I don't think the money's there for it.
No, I don't think so either. But cool, that'd be interesting though. Hopefully they show Final Fantasy, but there is... I mean, hopefully there's some surprises. There might be quite a lot of good stuff. Who knows?
We'll find out on Wednesday. I'll probably watch it Wednesday, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, same. 10 p.m. Not a bad time slot for us, really.
10 p.m.'s kind of a reasonable time slot for being in the UK.
All right. I reckon it'll be like 35 minutes. It won't be a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, easy. That'll be once I finish playing Gloomhaven, the guys, I can watch that.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. And then a couple of things in the board game world. Dice Throne is entering the Marvel Universe. Dice Throne, the super cool one-on-one dice battling game that has had two seasons worth of characters and an adventure box and loads of bits and pieces published by Roxley Games. They have got the Marvel license for the next season. So there is a battle chest coming out, and loads of different ways to buy it in smaller boxes and things like that. The Marvel characters, it will cover Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Thor, Loki, Captain Marvel, Captain Strange, Black Panther, Scarlet Witch, and Black Widow, which is a pretty good selection of characters.
Very interesting, because there's not many villains. Yeah, I mean, Loki's technically a villain, even though he's kind of...
I mean, there's not that many.
Like an anti-hero in some ways. Yeah. I was expecting to be like four heroes, four villains. But no, they're just lent into purely, let's get the best characters for getting people on board.
Huh. Yeah, let's just sell a big box. So if you back it now on Kickstarter, you can get it all as like a big super chest, which has all eight characters in it. If you've not seen any of the Dice Throne stuff before, they also sell them in like two character packs, which are a bit cheaper. It's like 20 odd quid, and then you get the two characters. Each character in the box is then in its own like game tray. So you can just take out the tray, open the tray, out comes the board, the cards, the dice, everything. It's like super easy to like get up and go. But the battle chest has got all eight. When it comes to retail, it will be one slightly bigger box with four characters in it, and then two character boxes, which is a better way to start. Like I started out by like, I mean, it's like Yahtzee with extra steps, right? It's the five dice. You can hold some back, roll more, use them to activate powers. You've also got power cards. It's like one on one, get the opponent's health down. Super good fun. I started but just by buying one box of two characters. Played it a couple of times, thought this is really cool, and then bought way, 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 way more.
So heavily invested,
Heavily invested. So I'm definitely buying the battle chest, getting all eight characters. But yeah, when it comes to retail, there'll be the big four character box, which is Scarlet Witch, Thor, Loki, and Spider-Man. And then you'll have two separate two character boxes with Captain Marvel versus Panther and Black Widow versus Doctor Strange. So for $30, $20-ish, £22-ish, you'll get like two characters. You can just play one on one and see if you like it and then buy more if you want to. So that's what's always pretty cool about the Dice Throne stuff.
I like they are quite good at accessibility. You know, like that's one thing I will always compliment Dice Throne about. I do think it's very accessible, you know, both from like the IPs they do and also just it's quite simple to learn, you know, just here's some dice. Who played Yahtzee? Awesome. Off you go. You know, it's not a game that's going to get on people's case about, oh, it's this complicated or you've got all this going on. So it probably fits quite nicely with the Marvel theme for like kids, adults and teens.
Yeah. Some of the characters are super complicated for new people, but they've all, every board has got a character difficulty rating. They normally put like an easier one and maybe a harder one in a box as well. So you've always got like one to pick from, and that's on the outside of the box as well. So if you pick like the Samurai versus the Gunslinger in season two is like a one star and a two star hero. So they're both like really good ones to start with. But then if you go to like the Chronomancer versus the Pirate Witch or whatever, you know, there's different levels of difficulty as well. So it does like, you know, cover a lot of bases in that thing as well. And yeah, good range of heroes, which is pretty cool.
I think there's a good range. None of the OG Avengers, which I thought was... No, you've got four. Sorry, correct me.
Got four.
Yeah.
But, four and Loki.
But then I like the fact it's a bit of a range. You know, like I didn't expect to see Spider-Man in there, but I'll take it. There's no Iron Man or Captain America, but actually, it's not the worst.
I prefer that. Yeah, I quite like it. I prefer that.
Some of the heroes get a bit played out because they're in every single Marvel-based board game or whatever. But sometimes it's nice to see some of the other characters get a bit of screen time. Or in this case,
There might be a season two with eight new characters as well. So,
of course, there will be
if they keep it.
Of course, there will be. They've already got 672,800 quid. You know, there's 19 days left to go, and they're already in the 670k mark. There's easily going to be a season two.
Yeah.
There's a license to print money, so yeah,
it is a lot of money. 673.5 now. It's going up all the time.
Did you see as well? They've got the neoprene mats on that. So actually, you could really like the custom mats for each character.
Yeah. They've always done that. You get card sleeves with the character on each of them. So there's eight different sets of card sleeves, ten different mats, because one for each character plus the one with the cover art, dice holders, dice trays. Like they really, I think that's what's quite good about this as well. It's like there's only one pledge level, which is here's the box, here's the eight things. But if you want, here's a crap load of extra stuff as well. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, this is half the game, and this is some more of the game, this is some more of the game, which we're going to get to now. Resident Evil, the board game, has also now come back to Kickstarter. Our friends over at Steamforged Games, the third box of Resident Evil miniature goodness they have made.
Who would have thought? We played through.
Yeah. We played quite a lot of two, and then it was okay. And then three, Resident Evil 3, the board game came out, and by all accounts, that was like okay, slightly better, I guess. And now this is Resident Evil 1, so they've gone 2, 3, 1 for some reason. I don't know. I just know how these games plan out. Like the pitch and the way it looks cool. I like that the tiles now have way more art on it. Like you can tell, like, oh, that's the Grand Hall from Spencer Mansion. Oh, that's the dining room. This is the painting room with the switches. And it does seem like they've tried to add in a bit more puzzle elements and things like that. But it is, scenario-based, four-player co-op, you guys versus the game. You get the enemies, zombies, zombie dogs, a couple of hunters, and you only get two bosses in the main game, four characters to play as, and the game is £72, which is quite a lot of money.
It's... I think for people who are interested, go on Tabletopia, and they've got Resident Evil 2 set up on Tabletopia, so you can literally play it online for free before jumping into this Kickstarter. I think that's what I'd have to say. 70. Yeah.
Done. Go do that.
Yeah, literally, like, 70 quid is a lot of money to invest. And, like, none of these games have been... They've made a lot of money on Kickstarter, but from a review perspective and from hearing people talk about the games, it's quite quiet for the amount of money they generated on Kickstarter. You'd expect it to be more talked about for... I think they're, like, the sixth and seventh largest Kickstarters with a board game and video game IP.
Oh, yeah.
So you just don't hear them talked about...
The amount of money they rake in does not correlate to the quality of the games at all, unfortunately. I mean, they're fine. They are okay games, by all accounts, but I've only played a couple of them. But just like thinking, like, this seems like a really good game. Like, the tiles look like Spencer Mansion. As I say, there's puzzles, you get all the minis, there's the four characters. The bosses in the main box, though, are Lisa Trevor from the Crypt and the T2 Tyrant. But if you want... Hold on, scrolling. The characters are Chris Redfield, Jill Valentine, Rebecca Chambers, and Barry Burton. Obviously, the four main people from the game.
Which they got that right. Perfect. You had to have them in there.
But then if you want like other stuff, there's the Into the Darkness expansion, which has the giant snake boss from the attic and a giant spider from the shed area as you go outside and the caves areas. Like, that's like integral parts of Resident Evil 1. And they're in a separate box. The Bleak Outpost expansion has got the shark and then the plant boss. Can't remember its name. It's T, not T, P, something like that. I don't know.
I can't remember the name thing, right now.
Which you have to get the formula correct.
Then
you
dump 45?
Yeah, plant 45, 7.5. You get the flamethrower and you can either do it with the flamethrower or you can make the sample in the thing and then you inject it into it and it all goes wrong. There's a separate box of monsters, a separate box of... terrain pieces. But then what I hated about the first one was the retro pack, which makes it look like Resident Evil 1. Like, just do that. Why would you want it to look different? Like, this has like the cover art from the PlayStation 1 game, and it makes the cards and all the bits and pieces that come with it look like art from Resident Evil. Like, I think it's bullshit that they sell that as a £22 extra, because then you've got a whole bunch of cards that don't look like the game, and then you've paid all this money to get all the stuff which makes it look like the old game. I think that's really, really silly.
It's worked. It worked for them already. I can't...
Yeah, but it works. It sells, but that's the thing. Like, these sell, but like people aren't particularly happy, I guess. But then maybe they are because people just keep spending money on it. Maybe it's different people. That's the thing. But to touch on those, I was waiting until I scrolled far enough. So the expansion that's got a couple of extra missions, the big giant snake boss from the attic and the big spider boss is £37 for two bosses and a couple more expansions. And same for the shark and plant boss, £37. Game trays, you know, the cool inserts they put in regular board games to keep all your bits safe, are an optional upgrade for some reason for £19. So I guess if you don't buy that, all of your bits and pieces are just in a big empty box.
No, it will be some really loose tray. Like, I'll agree the expansions in the Middle East are expensive, but I'm just looking at the tray right now. I'm going, do you know what?
RE2 was nothing.
Was it not?
I mean, there was trays for the minis, but everything else was just chucked in.
Okay. I've never seen RE3 open without some of the trays. So maybe they kind of updated some of the production values. I don't know.
RE3 had game trays inside it. Because I saw someone in the comments saying, why did you take them out and make it an option extra?
Okay, fine. Yeah. So they learned their lessons and realised they could profit of those lessons. Great.
I can probably tell you about it, yeah. Retro pack is £22, which I say just replaces every card and the usable cards and some of the art with bits that actually look like the video game. And it's £22. Let's just make it look like the video game to start with. Dicks. Dice pack, £9. And then neoprene mats, terrain, extra monsters, blah, 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 blah. The all-in pledge is £217, which is far too much money.
I don't know how I feel about this.
I mean, that's the thing. That's not a lot compared to like a massive the game you used to play with the zombies.
I'm torn because it looks like they've learned some lessons about 2 and 3. Like they were saying about some of the map design requires you to go back and forth to then collect keys, which captures the feel of the mansion. So, you know, it's like there's a limited map space, but actually you need to go back and forth and be careful about doors being open. Little things
and
like that.
Some puzzle elements.
That's really cool. And that really captures the theme of the mansion. And the mansion itself, like that's a thing that everyone loves at Resi 1. The mansion was a vibrant atmosphere and it was its own enemy. Like I think that's the only reason Resi 1 became as big as it was. That mansion haunts my nightmares to this day. And like the game looks cool. The game looks really cool.
Yeah.
But Do you have 220 spare?
This looks cool. I don't think I'd want just the base game.
No, it's £220 purchase, man. It's not a £70 purchase. Like, because the fact you don't get the spider, you don't get the shark, you don't get the bloody snake, like, you don't get those key moments from Resi 1. And I mean, I didn't even see like a Vickers mini yet. I'm guessing that's going to be a stretch goal, but it's missing a load of like the side characters like Vickers and Forrest. You know,
so there's a whole bunch of stretch goals, which they say the people that are back it are going to be able to like help unlock. Or it seems weird that it's not the regular, like just when you hit money, things are going to unlock. There's going to be choices to make depending on what. They have said that Brad Vickers will be one of them. And he is like an NPC that you can like see in a mission. And if you go save him, then you can maybe play as him or something like that. But if you leave him, then he becomes his own like autonomous like NPC that goes off and makes supply runs and might get turned, which sounds cool. But then again, like as you say, that maybe the community won't pick to unlock Forest and then you haven't got all the Bravo team. So it's a bit silly.
I feel like the community would, because he is one of the characters from the beginning. It's the same as not picking Forest, you know. It's like, why would you not? But they call it exploration paths instead of stretch goals. So yeah, they've got like this weird...
I mean,
it's interesting in that they're trying to do something different with stretch goals rather than, here's our generic goals we've already outlined and we already have these costs included in the price you're paying for the game. Yeah,
they've already included those costs. The whole thing's just bullshit and it's like, it's just slowly revealing stuff that was going to be in the game anyway.
Yeah. With like some of the larger publishers like Steamforged and Seamon, 100%. With some of the smaller publishers like Stone Sword Games or Hogs of War, the guys have been quite upfront and going, okay, no, the stretch goals were legitimately, we cannot afford to run these ideas we have without hitting certain financial targets. And I like that transparency. And I was like, okay, this is a difference between a company that's got two games to... This is the second game ever being made compared to someone like Seamon that I've got 30 editions of Zombicide and then some. You know, it's... Yeah. I guess this comes back to the moral dilemma of, do you support companies that clearly have the capital on Kickstarter knowing they're abusing the platform to take advantage of its pre-ordering system rather than as an investment and crowdsourcing system?
Yeah, it's basically a big old pre-order because it was funded in 20 minutes.
It was 20 minutes. I'm not surprised. But like, you'd have to get £220. I mean, okay, if someone went, you can have all of this for £100. A part of me would be going, just from a collection perspective and to play the campaign once, yes.
It seems good. It seems like something I would want to play, but I want the spider. I want the snake. I want the I want the plant boss. I don't want to spend 72 plus shipping, don't forget. So I don't want to spend 85, maybe more, for a basic campaign that's only got like girl boss from the fucking side mission that you isn't really even really a boss, and tyrant. Like, it's, yeah, it's I know what they do. If I own the business, this is exactly how I do it to get the most money. But
it makes sense.
It's not going to be the people paying the money. It is being outpaced by Marvel Dice Throne currently. I think probably the big box of miniatures will end up more because you can spend way more money on it. But it's very interesting to note that they both came out at a similar time. And Marvel Dice Throne at time of recording, 675,000. Resident Evil, 545,000. So there is money in board games if you have a big license.
Huh. This is, the more I look at this, the more, on just some awesome factor. Just some awesome factor, 10 out of 10. Not even going to lie. It's only because I've been in the hobby long enough and my natural cynicism and awareness of value kind of dampens this. For someone like Chartang, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You know, I think this is
a plays it
into the hobby. Yeah.
He should buy it and then we can all play it together.
Exactly.
Win, win, win.
Exactly. That's what we
get to play it, get to pay for it. He gets to pay for it, get some collectible stuff. Way.
He loves it.
Anyway, that's enough from Kickstarter this week. That is enough for the show, actually. Do you have any parting thoughts, Chris, on any of the news you discussed today?
No, it's kind of a good... I love this time of year. I love this time of year because, okay, just from a pure consumerist perspective, people are just rolling shit out and there's a lot of stuff I want to play and there's a lot of stuff I want.
There's a lot going on.
I know that's a bit too pro-capitalism, but simultaneously, damn, give me more stuff, man. I love being taunted and teased with stuff that I can't afford.
I love stuff.
Oh, my days. I love it. Oh, I'm going to Fright Night, by the way, on the weekend coming up. I'm going to one of those scary, spooky places. So, you know.
Cool.
Ooh,
that'd be fun. Well, you can give us a rundown on how that went last week.
If I survive.
Next week, if you're not dead.
Exactly. Just fair warning, if I'm not here next week, you know.
I'll be doing a solo show with your ghost. Ooh.
They'd probably moan less than I do.
If you're at home, Chris, and you want to start us on the show, you just want to send us fan mail, you can do that. Send it to contact@downtimegaming.co.uk. Is that from this week? If you like what you've heard, then please subscribe on whatever podcast and app or service you use. Leave us a review. We love every one of them. Thank you very much. If you want to see more of what we do, head on over to website downtimegaming.co.uk or on YouTube. If you search Downtime Gaming or Downtime Cards, if you head over to Instagram, downtime_gaming, and we're on Twitter at downtime_gaming and all cards. Pick your fancy. But with that, we're going to wish everyone out there another great week ahead. Everyone stay safe and we'll see you at the same time next week.
It's been a pleasure. See ya.